Hi, and welcome back. I'm Simi Lerner, and this is Judaism From Within, the podcast where we discuss the ideas of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, his approach to laws in the Torah. We also do ideas that he develops on the weekly parasha, but that primarily is on the podcast or the WhatsApp group. That won't appear on the OU website. So, to the end of Chukim, we're going through Rav Hirsch's categories of commandments. We've been through the Torahs, we've been through the Eidos, we've been through the Mishpatim. We're now finishing off the Chukim, the laws that their reason and their premises are inaccessible to us. The nature of the earth, the nature of your soul, these things you don't have access to like you have the access to the reality of your own internal world. I know I shouldn't hit someone because I know what it means to be a person. That's a Mishpat. That's a law of justice. But choik is something that I don't have access to, the underlying premises, the underlying essences of things, and that's based off the trust in the Torah. The trust that these ideas that we are being told reflect a certain justice in relation to the way things truly are, which isn't something we could have direct access to. That's where sort of revelation comes into play. But what Rav Hirsch does for us is he develops potential angles and potential meanings for these chukim. And now we're dealing with vowels, and for Rav Hirsch, a vowel is the quintessential chayk. Because if you think about it, when I make an oath, what am I exactly doing? I'm taking my free will and I'm binding it to an event. I'm binding my free will to a future event or a past event. I'm binding my will, I'm binding my being, so to speak, to a past event that I'm claiming took place, or to a future event that I say will take place, or in relationship to an object that I will not touch, or an object that I will give. I'm taking my word, which is my free will, and I'm binding it to an abstraction. This isn't the lived reality of being a human being. This is playing around with concepts, concepts that have profound ramifications, both in the religious world, but also the secular world. I believe philosophers call it a performative act, where you through the act of speaking, you've created something. But for Rav Hirsch, this is a beautiful example of a chayk. And for me, this was probably the most impactful explanation he gave when it came to what a vowel is. Because what is a vowel? I have my word. What is your word exactly? My word is my bound, people say. But what do they mean by that? They mean there's something about what they say that they should be held to. And that is what Rav Hirsch looks at as being those unstated premises, that inaccessible reality. The same way the soil of the earth, its true nature, is inaccessible to you, and God is the guarantor of that. Your soul, when God tells you what to eat and what not to eat, that God is the guarantor, that is a true reflection of the essence of things. Same with your word. God is the guarantor. When you break your word, you've chilel diburov, you've destroyed your word, you've destroyed your own dignity, but more than that, you've destroyed God's presence in the world. You've made what we call a chilel Hashem, a desecration of God's name. When a person makes a shavua, and this is primarily in the area of a shavua, where a person makes an oath, and in its highest form is when you take the name of God in such an oath. To break such an oath is dismantling evidence of God in this world. And to develop that for a moment, Rav Hirsch's understanding of where you find evidence for God in this world, he's not approaching it as an apologist about how you could argue for the existence of God. He says when a Jew says God, he doesn't just mean a power for reality. He means the God that is represented in the Torah and the Jewish tradition. The evidence for that God in the world are the Jewish people. The evidence for that God in the world are the Jewish people acting in moral perfection, developing the principles of the Torah and living them out in the world. When a person breaks his word, what is he breaking? He's taking an aspect of himself, he's binding a future to it, he's binding an action to his word, and then he breaks it. That's why when it's a Shavua, it's the most potent expression of this. But at any time, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm not bound by my word. Things come out of my mouth, intentions, and I don't feel bound by them. The way Chazal refer to this as, the rabbis say, what a person can do when they break their word is destroy that which fire cannot destroy. Fire can destroy buildings, fire can destroy objects, but fire can't destroy the presence of God in the world. because that is what is diminished when a person makes a Chilul Hashem. He acts in a way that, if you take the broader context of a Chilul Hashem, he pretends, he proclaims to be a person of God, and then acts contrary to that. That isn't just a neutral move, that is a detrimental dismantling of the presence of God in the world. Okay, so we spoke about the idea of, or the foundational construct of a vow, and why it is so, should be taken with such caution, which is why in general we're not supposed to take vows. Now, sometimes your vow will be on your knowledge, sometimes a vow will be on a deed or an object, but there are appropriate times for making a vow, three of them, and Rav Hirsch goes through them, one in a time of stress, one in a situation where you're being tempted by sin, and the third when you want to spur yourself to greater movement. Now, each of these three are a way of using a vow in an appropriate, constructive way. Rav Hirsch also develops there is a way of moving away from a vow or undoing a vow. I won't go into that right now, but there are laws that discuss this. But what is the value at the time of stress, as we see with Yaakov? Rav Hirsch explains that when you're in a situation of stress, when you're in a situation of difficulty, that may be an appropriate time to make a vow, not because it will fix the problem. It's important to point that out. This isn't a magical trick, but you are put into a new state of mind. You frame reality differently when you're under stress. This is an opening for you to make a change. And a way of concretizing that change is with a vow. Take, for example, you're on your bike, and you're flying down the hill, and in a split moment you're like, as they say, your life flashes before your eyes, and things are going really bad. What do we mean by your life flashes before your eyes? You reflect on who you are, who you intend to become, who you have been, and it allows you to, probably the bike isn't the best example, but you get my point. Life flashing before your eyes for us as Jewish people is an opportunity to reframe reality in a way that allows movement, because we are here to act, we are here to grow. Sometimes pain and stress can allow you to reframe your own experience. And at that point, at that moment of clarity, you can make a vow to commit to making a change that fits in line with this new move of clarity you have. That is an appropriate time to make a vow, because it is in line with your mission. Your mission is one of growth. Your mission is one of growing closer to God and lifting the world up to a better place. And in moments of stress, you have clarity. And at that point, you can concretize that clarity with an oath. For sin, if a person is struggling with a certain sin, there are ways of making frameworks within that which is permitted to draw him away from such a sin. We can all think of plenty of examples, but a classic parallel to any form of addiction. If you're into gambling, well then, don't go near a casino. Don't go near people who gamble. And you could make a vow to yourself or an oath to distance yourself from things that are permitted to protect you from sin, and spurring you on to greater heights in a similar sort of way. You could push yourself to do things that perhaps you aren't forced to do. Perhaps the word forced is inappropriate, that you are not obligated to do. There's no obligation upon you, but if you draw yourself together it with an oath, it can help move you in the right direction. So that's the topic for today, the idea of a vow, the quintessential expression of what a chayk is, because it is your experience, your voice, your word, something that you think is so intimate to you, but it requires the guardianship of God, because God is the one who holds us to our vow, bounds us to our word. That is the quintessential expression of a chayk. And then we moved it on to the three times where it is permitted to make a vow. The three times where it is permitted to make a vow in a time of distress, a time to move one away from sin, and lastly, at a stage where a person wants to be moved forward towards his mission in a higher way. And just to end off with the idea of a Chilul Hashem in the context of breaking one's vow, because while breaking one's vow, that idea of diminishing of God's presence takes place. Because evidence, and this is really a key idea that I always found very enlightening from Rav Hirsch's standpoint, when we make a vow, or when we act in the world contrary to our religious disposition, we diminish evidence of God in the world. And that diminishing of evidence of God in the world is, I think, a perfect example of the idea of a Chilul Hashem, a desecration of the name of God.